forever. Dog. Race Chaser.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser Classique, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning!
My name's Alaska, what's yours?
Hi, I'm Willem.
It's early in the morning, but she's still got the notes. She's still got the range.
We'll sound check with it.
She's got the range.
Yeah.
Could they do some sweetening, Melodyne on that? We Melodyne our entire episode, so
Melodyne.
Just so it all just is completely in the key of C sharp. Very sharp.
Your very sharp.
Your key seems very sharp right now.
Sharp. It's sharp.
No surge, no sill, no shake. So last week we had the, we went to the dog park.
Bring it to the dog park. Dog park.
This is your favorite part of Drag Race. Dressing the girls in demeaning, ill-fitting costumes.
At the bitch ball.
You know, I never did try on the dog costume. We didn't end up using it.
I never did get the chance to slip myself into that luxurious polyester costume.
We didn't end up using it for cats. But... I'm excited about it. I love this shit.
You put the right belt with it and anything can really work for drag.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have to wear fur in drag.
Girl.
It's so hot. Who wants to wear a... No, not me. Here, put this scarf on in drag. It's made of fur. Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I already have a wig on keeping like 80% of my body heat in.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Well, we have moved on. And now this week, it's a very special... RuPaul Rewind.
Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only RuPaul.
And we have Michelle Visage dressed as RuPaul lip-syncing the beginning.
This is the beginning. Tits up to her chin.
She looks great.
Yeah.
It's a little unclear who she is and what is going on when you first watch it.
Playing in Mother's Things.
If you...
She got her up in the gig.
If you were the casual observer, you would not understand what was going on. Because it even took me a second to be like, oh, that's Michelle dressed as RuPaul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they needed to fill up all the time. Why not use songs they had the license to?
They filled up the time. And then RuPaul comes in.
Is that when she slaps her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She says, are you making... Fun of me, Michelle. Playing in my things. Pretending to be me. And then she slaps her, which we always love a good RuPaul bitch slap.
Some drag queens can be so touchy. Oh, is it? It's Grease. Some drag queens can be...
Oh, I thought it was Mommy Dearest.
Oh, okay. The Rizzo line when Rizzo leaves after Sandra D is somethings. Maybe it's both. It's classic gay camp.
Yeah.
Done by two of the best.
How wonderfully camp. How delightfully camp. I didn't get the Grease thing. I thought it was Mommy Dearest, but you're totally right. Yeah, it's totally Grease reference.
The first segment is just like the chock full of like, hey, we have these casting tapes of these boogers. Do you want to see them?
The boogerino boots.
Would you like to see the booger boots do their little booger parade before they were on the show?
Right. Now, before we even do that, I
saw Magnolia.
I was, oh yeah, she was in there. Swordfish.
Couple girls.
Swordfishing about.
Swordfish.
I have to say, I was a little like, can we just skip this fucking recap? Shit.
Why? It's enjoyable.
Well, then watching it, I was like, oh, there's gems. So many good nuggets.
Sharon's
and gems
just
in
a
here.
Diamond in the rough on it. So good.
Yes.
Perfect.
There's a lot of new footage, stuff we haven't seen, and it's actually a really great episode.
I saw you with some of the longest bangs and the heaviest powder in a picture with Sharon on the casting special, too. You were on the casting special. And they show you in this segment.
When we're like making out on Skype.
Yeah, but then they show a picture of you with real long bangs, too.
Oh, because I was...
It looked like a Just Dance illusion.
I was doing Lady Bunny.
Oh, Just Lady Dance. Bunny I love that Lady Bunny and Lady Gaga, same face chart.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Similar.
Oh, they need to get Lady Bunny as the house bunny, H-A-U-S bunny. That would be the collab of life.
I'm using the Riot lip gloss on my ass.
This punk liner has scabs. I drew a heart. That's what we did in the old days when punks came. Magnolia Crawford is very confident when in her audition tape. She says, "Why do you want me? Look at me." And I was like, oh, they got her. I mean, she got on. Perseverance pays off.
It took a little while, but she eventually made it. A lot of the queens we're seeing on here, we see Mrs. Kasha Davis. Mm-hmm. We see Jocelyn Fox.
This is actually a shower curtain, and it has lots of uses.
You know she wore that when she did Survivor with her two girlfriends in New Jersey.
Who has this?
Boots in Asbury Park down. Yeah.
We see all the divas. Willem, you're dressed as Smurfette.
I'm blue head to toe. And that was done in the dressing room. We did the Heathers video.
Wait, where?
Or the hotel room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's how I knew about that location.
Oh, I love that location.
Yeah, so cute, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Heathers.
How delightfully camp.
Thank you.
And they have to throw in this speech of Fifi's audition tape where she's like,
foretelling.
You guys, this is.
What does she say?
She's like, we have to all be. She's also doing this like very high voice.
Her phone voice, her fish voice, trade voice,
client voice.
Yeah.
We just really have to all be sisters and. We have to be friends and we have to have each other's backs. You know what I mean?
I do know. Your phone case is so cute. Matches your whole
rose gold.
That's a Courtney outfit.
It matches Courtney's everything.
Oh.
Well,
maybe that's what she meant by being sisters, was stealing wigs. Or you reappropriating wigs, not stealing.
You asked for the side-by-side.
The side-by-side of Fifi and Kenya does exist. The dress is clearly different.
Is that at Race Chaser Pod on Instagram? Oh, where you now, can follow the dolls.
That's the same wig. It's same, the same unit.
It's the same. The naked eye says that's the same unit.
Whether they both brought it whether they...
One of them brought it. One of them brought it home.
One of the wigs did make its way into my suitcase. Yeah.
Was it the purple one?
I don't know. There were some wigs, and some of them may have made it into my suitcase.
Rue announces the slang section of a show she's calling the world premiere of Shit My Girls Say, which would make an amazing World of Wonder web series. I would watch to see all the girls' catchphrases put to a beat. Very.
It was very compelling.
Very Joelipus.
What was your favorite shit so-and-so says video? Because that's what that's referenced to. Remember, like, shit white girls say, shit Italian moms say.
Oh, right.
Shit. Remember that moment?
I did one of them, I think.
I think this was my favorite one. I think it's really funny. It was entertaining. I watched it twice. Yeah.
It is really funny. So the no tea no shade it gets a huge portion of this.
And I had a couple in there. I had cheesecake. I was yelling with the girls.
Nurse.
Ooh, nurse.
Nurses help people.
My mom's a nurse, and we watched it last night on the couch. And she's like, "I loved it when you said that," and she patted my head.
Oh, yeah, that's so sweet.
Yeah, reading jiggles for filth. Post-apocalyptic. Apocalyptic. I love LaShawn's soundbite with the post-apocalyptic. Uh-huh. That was a fun inclusion. The Where the Fuck Are My Tits.
Uh-huh.
The Where the Fuck Are My Tits Joelipus mix.
Complete.
Eat it. That went like at least 5-6 times. Latrice was the anchor of the whole piece for sure.
Yeah, definitely. No surge, no sill, no shade.
Classic line.
No tea, no shade. This was the birth of no tea, no shade. And I still don't fully understand no tea, no shade. I understand how we use it, but if you dissect it, it means no tea, no shade.
For me, tea is the truth. Okay. No tea. Like, I'm going to tell you.
So,
the truth.
No truth. And I'm not trying to offend you. So, I'm lying to you and I'm trying to not offend you.
Yeah.
Is that what it means?
I think it's just it's a basic breakdown. Like, I'm breaking it. You're trying to break it down for the person in some way and mm-hmm. tell them the truth, I think, and not offend them.
So you
like, you're not trying to be shady, but here's the tea. Here's the truth. But I don't know why it's no then. It should be like all tea, no shade. Really.
Which is
all tea, no shade.
Which is when we got to season 5, we sort of dissected it and started saying all tea, all
y'all
shade.
Like, y'all were like trying to dissect every drag thing.
No of course.
No drugs to do, so y'all get party talky. Like, let's dissect everything. We can't stay up at night. We'll talk about something. Yeah.
So we started saying all tea, all shade, which is also like, I'm going to tell you the complete truth, and I'm completely trying to read you at the same time.
Down boots up.
Do you think it's like...
Dipper's chiming in using her microphone. That's one. I'm just kidding.
Do you think it is, you know, tea often means like gossip?
I think
so.
Yeah.
You think it's like, I'm not trying to be like catty or gossipy or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, what's the T? So it's T E A.
I think it's like
I think
a little.
That.
Yeah. Oh.
I think that's right.
Oh.
So like, not trying to be messy, but here's the truth.
I want to see the receipts.
We need the oldest drag queen alive to write in and tell us because she probably heard it before anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ask Princess Deandra or somebody.
Right.
Or maybe Bun Bun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jasmine Masters took this at one step further and said, no tea, no shade,
no pink
lemonade. Yes.
That's the one. Bitch, I think she needs a show selling pink lemonade on the side of the street outside of World of Wonder because I would go over every afternoon. I would watch it live streamed. Just her pouring lemonade, reading people. Put that in the World of Wonder window. I've given them 2 good ideas today. I hope to see.
What's the other one?
The other one was something else. A YouTube show of just all their girls' quotes.
Like, oh, I know.
A mix show? That would be sickening.
I love that.
Get on it, Petey.
I'm taking off my blouse.
Oh, take off. You want to be a star, Coco, right? Take your blouse off.
It's very warm here in the Sylmar location. It was a little bit of a commute, but it's actually where it's very scenic out here.
Yeah, we took a zip line.
And actually, we appreciate the Condors who have moved in. And they've actually made this their home. And since they are endangered and protected, mm-hmm. we are now no longer able to demolish this building because it is their home.
Historic preservation site. We're registered.
Yeah, we are. We're a chain.
We're a chain. One of my favorite things that Chad tells Fifi, he tells her right out. She's like, "You've got all that venom inside you," and she's like, "You think I'm evil?"
We need.
And then we get the villain edit of life that they give Fifi with every little thing, every cut and eye, every little.
Well,
talking to Jiggly, saying thinks of something makes you happy. Food makes you happy, right? And it's like that's. It was a little bullying.
A little, but also funny.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't funny. The food makes you happy. That's the lowest hanging fat joke. And someone who was fat, if someone made that joke to me, fuck you. And they had just met. I was like, I thought they had known each other years, by the way, Fifi was ridiculing her. And I was like, this has gone beyond reading because it's not funny. But I guess it was to some. Every humor is subjective.
Sometimes.
Meanwhile, I host a show called Beatdown. Wow, never mind. I'll shut up.
Well, sometimes when you cut out the laughter after somebody says something mean, it can sound meaner.
It can turn.
And that happened a lot with Courtney.
Jocelyn Courtney.
Like, she was like, I would say some cunty thing, mm-hmm. and like, we would all laugh about it because it's funny. And like, that's how drag queens act. So, like, I saw this supercut of Fifi being the devil, but I was like, she's kind of just talking like drag queens. Like, we say really horrible shit to each other.
I mean, but did you see Fifi in the Snatch Game? She wasn't funny in that. So a lot of the reads weren't funny, I didn't think. But, I mean, it was fierce drag, like, reads. Yes. And I'm like, oh, just calling her fat? Like, put a spin on it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
Jiggly's a spinner.
Well, I will say this.
Updo.
Yes, our new sound cue. Dun, dun, dun. Welcome to the stage.
Updo.
We recorded that underwater in a basement.
Wearing House Labs matte lip crayons.
Yes.
Waterproof.
We were using a gramophone recorder. It was not a digital recorder. So that's why the quality of the...
Updo.
we'll be back.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag. The Divas of Song. And the Divas rejoiced in this episode too, this recap episode.
They do. Yeah. We do love to just, we love to sing. It's something we do a lot. And probably a lot they can't show because it's, we're just singing
vulgar.
Like, well, we're singing copyrighted music.
Yeah,
but yes,
true.
Vulgar too.
Yeah. Vulgarism.
I mean, that's, that's this workroom for sure.
Milan has one of the funniest songs. He was saying it after one of the mini challenges that we did where it was like quick drag.
Oh my God.
His I think it was the padding challenge. He had on a bi-level like salt and pepper wig,
a
blouse, just a button down short sleeve blouse at one point, and then sweatpants pulled up. She sings Cover Girl, Why Y'all Bass Look Like Chalk.
Crunchy toes, busted pose, you can't walk. Now walk. Don't walk. Now walk. Don't walk.
And we would just sing it throughout the season, and it brought so much joy to the workroom. Just song brings joy to any room. So like whenever a girl picks up something, Jesus is a biscuit, Latrice would just yell that out of nowhere sometimes.
Yeah.
And it would just make the whole room better, you know?
Completely.
Sharon would always be singing stuff for sure.
Don't share your needles with Sharon Needles.
You'll get the or the butt flu. They let butt flu on there.
That's
Sharon
offensive.
what is the butt flu?
It's HIV or AIDS. It's a slang for that, and they let that through.
Butt
flu is definitely
that's the slang.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
Jesus is a biscuit.
See how it picks up the room. Let him sop you up.
Now, what is sopping it up, Mom? I don't even understand. What is that?
Jiggly and Phoebe both didn't know what that was.
Jiggly didn't know what that. I mean, I knew what that was.
Yeah, you go with a biscuit.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. You clean the plate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Dito's like, bitch, I know what that fucking is. I know what that
shit is. I can stop with the best of them. For sure.
Oh, the next segment is called Not Safe for the Workroom. I know that you're featured heavily in this, and this is basically just nudity throughout the workroom.
Assorted nudity. I'm heavily featured.
Of course.
Yeah. And who else did they have? They had Fifi's hot dog. They had her dog trying to hump her.
Her hot dog.
Her dog was hot for her.
They show basically everybody Sharon like, in a Seafoam
men's international
figure.
Bikini.
Well, international male.
Yeah, it was very that.
Yeah. Definitely. She had it pulled all the way up, honey.
You know, boy underwear is tucking pants. Just pull it up and tie a knot.
That's day.
I somehow explained what Rick Santorum with Santorum.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember how that got in there, but the Santorum is a frothy mix of lube and fecal matter that is sometimes a byproduct of anal sex. I don't know why I felt the need to explain that.
It might have been the Dan Savage episode. Wait, you weren't there.
Wow. Is that a weed? Did you do the shade
rabbit? Okay, I did.
That's so upsetting.
So, yeah, I don't know why that would have come up.
Maybe I was foreshadowing.
Foreskin shadowing. Yes, so you were explaining what Santorum is, which is pretty cool.
And I'm being a provoking asshole right behind Milan. I'm like, why'd you take your wig off while she's cleaning a mirror, wiping away, I think, Kenya's message? I was like, why is it wig wars? Why is everyone taking their wigs off? And she was right there. But like they
you
made,
were bringing up the conversation.
They made us ask stuff like talking points, and they knew that I'd said it in interview, so they had me say it again. And I was like, I felt like such an asshole, but I did it. Screen time.
But it was a valuable conversation to everyone.
Yeah, people were wondering why couldn't you keep your wig on. And I was just like, I was shocked because when she took her sequin dress off, like.
It came off without ruining
it came off
the
without,
wig.
Her hair was
still
perfect.
It.
She had a cute little like black lingerie set under it. And I was like, why you don't, no. In my head, I remember going, why is she taking off her wig? And then LaQueer took off her wig. And I was like, LaQueer didn't even have a pin in it. I thought that sucker whipped right off.
Yeah.
Milan pulled. And I was like, ow, so many pins.
Yeah.
Because it was a blunt bang, Betty Page.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought. And she looked gorgeous.
Yeah. She was like, well, I had to get the hair out of my face because I wanted them to see my lips.
I was like, you had a bang.
You said, well, that's one thing. Like trying to be.
I should have been
judicious.
Like, girl, you had a blunt bang, blunt cut. That was a Megan. You had a Megan.
And then Chad was like, well, when I do it, it's all staying on, bitch.
I just, yeah, for sure. I mean, we had been told keep your wigs on, girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For certain instances, it works. Mm-hmm. Sasha Velour, for instance.
Oh,
that was a wig reveal
that was
worth it. Mm-hmm. Unexpected. Went with a story. Also had a surprise underneath.
Shay said as soon as she saw those rose petals, she knew she lost.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's, the death knell.
Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, let me finish a song. Maybe they'll tip. That was that, for sure.
Fuck. Just looking around your own outfit for like,
what
do I have
do?
Any?
Should do I take my wig off?
Do I have anything in here? Fuck.
Can I buck?
God damn it.
The memorable flashback of the queens who walked before us comes at this point in the show. And we start with Shangela once again. So do you know Shangela and Latrice are tied for the most seasons having had appeared on Drag Race as a contestant or a featured? I think.
Shangela and Latrice?
Mm-hmm, because they were all on four seasons. Shangela was on two, three, four, and then the Christmas special. No,
right.
And All Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Latrice was on four, five as the recapper with me and Sharon. We recapped.
Sharon. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Five. All Stars one. All Stars 17 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
So both five. I'm a journalist.
How many times have I been on?
Many times.
Doesn't casting special count for anything?
It does. It does, but I don't think anybody has you beat for wins, though. I think you're the Can we get some journalism out in the field? I think you've won the most challenges for sure.
I don't know. Ben de la Creme.
Oh, yeah.
She won, I think, 5 on All Stars.
Did she win a cruise?
I want a goddamn cruise!
So Shangela is the first up and out, and Holly Lou gets said 37 times, I counted.
We love.
In a 14-second clip.
Is
that a fly swatter on your head?
Or you just happen to see me. This is basically the section where they just show everybody in order going home.
The doll's dipping and running. Madame LaQueer had a roller coaster ride on the show, winner of a challenge, but always picked last the competition wearing all green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes they give you a real downer. Mine was Willem's rare combination of sexy and funny make her the queen to beat. But when Rue discovered the off-screen Willem violated show rules, she got the heave-ho home. She called me a hoe.
Well, are you proud of that?
She called you a he.
Are you? he ho. New merch, he ho. You he hoing? I think that's the classiest. Yeah. Latisse's curves and swerves. Latisse? There was an eyelash product on the show?
Lattice. Lattice night.
But
I like the lattice work on your dress.
Is this wooden lattice work or a PVC lattice? The judges loved Latisse's curves and swerves, and her sitcom challenge made catchphrase for the ages. But her bitch ball sent her packing.
Yeah.
Wow. These are good little sound bites. I wonder who wrote these.
I had to write these on the plane last night, like this.
Middle seat?
No, I was on the aisle, or in the window, but it was so tight that.
Who put you squozed up on a window?
I love the window because I can lean.
Oh, yeah, I prefer it.
Me on a laptop trying to type next to a human, that doesn't work. So I was like this.
It's comical, yes.
Hunting and pecking to get the L.
Wow.
Hunting and pecking. Good drag name. Hunter.
Yeah. Hunter Peck.
Hunter Peck.
All my queens are sickening, no?
Go to newnownext.com and vote for Miss Congeniality.
Yeah.
At that point in the show,
I'm gunning for you, honey. I hope you win it.
I didn't think I was a contender.
Congeniality is not something the women in my family aspire to. What is this? From Screen Rant, RuPaul's Drag Race queens with the most maxi challenge wins ranked. Well, how'd I do? Ben won, right? Are we adding up traditional season?
Oh,
wait, there's 10. So the number 10 is a tie with Latrice and somebody.
Well, let's just go to the top.
Yeah.
I'm Bibi Zahara.
Babe. Katya. Shangela. Ooh! Six wins.
I'm in fourth place.
I'm sorry. I'm
six devastated. Wins.
Manila. Oh, Manila.
Seven. Wins. Ben. Cream. Seven wins. Tied.
Trinity the Tuck Taylor. Trinity did slay All Stars her season, remember?
Yeah.
Remember those looks?
She did. Looks on looks.
Looks on looks.
There are a lot of ties happening, though, in the later All-Star seasons.
Oh. Wow.
I want to see the receipts.
ScreenRant.com.
That's
next...
ScreenRant.com/drag. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh,
we're going to take a break.
Bye-bye.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah, and under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Girl. You've got pejoratives.
Now, this next segment is really fun because they talk about all the guest judges who have come through.
It's like all the fun stuff that didn't really make the cut, but was funny or cute. And
so
the
much
runways.
Funny stuff.
And we had some good judges. And I think this is the first season that Ross appeared.
Yes.
And he's now a permanent judge.
Yes.
We had Billy B.
Elivra.
Elvira. Oh, wow. Elivra.
Wynonna Judd. Lucian Piane. Nicole Sullivan.
Rose McGowan was there. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Hewitt. John Saley was making jokes about Bronx prostitutes being expensive.
Too expensive.
Ooh, too pricey. Gotta go to Brooklyn. Regina King was there reading my ass. Max Muchnick, Dan Savage, Amber Riley.
Such a good roundup of judges for sure. And Billy B, who's there often, she had some snarky remarks that they showed. Turn the page and you read it.
We're going to put it on Race Chaser Pod too, but Billy B says, if you add up everything that Michelle is wearing, it's $22.97, including her tits.
Damn.
Just to Nicole Sullivan, who's one of the funniest people from Mad TV, and she cackles. It's just such a great read. And
not even to Michelle, though. Oh, just literally whispering it to the judge next
Soto.
To him.
Yeah, for sure. Soto. Is that how you say that? It's always play directions.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Stage. Yeah.
What's it called?
Soto.
I think
you
it's
know,
a
like,
Latin.
In a stage direction in a play.
Uh-huh.
Like sotto voce means like your soft voice.
Oh, wow. Stage whispering.
Yeah, so your phone voice.
If you add up everything.
I like the heroin joke that Natalie Cole and Sharon joke Sharon shared.
Oh my god! I know that's dark.
I think I was there for that, and I just remember thinking like they just made a needle joke with her name
because it's only Sharon has this way of I don't know disarming.
Well, Natalie Cole was really like cool and like hip too.
Yes, and Sharon pushes right up to the line mm-hmm. where whatever line. Is yours line
dangles
of like
her toe over it.
She,
doesn't touch the other
no,
side.
She
she's
yes.
dangler.
She said to Natalie Cole, "All in the past, right, Miss Cole? What about needle
a
using?
A former heroin user who came out on People Magazine had the whole recovery story and everything. Damn,
yeah.
balls. Go for Sharon Needles.
It do take nerve.
It do take nerve. Nerve it do. And we
now,
see Matthew."
Pamela, I heard you bumped your head earlier. How is your head?
Pamela takes a second and said, haven't had any complaints yet.
She got it.
So if she got it, every girl should get it. I agree. If you don't know that, you have no business on a stage or having a camera on you. That is basic 101.
Yeah. Pamela's a sharp whip.
Yeah. She was so much fun. She was probably one of my favorite judges for sure.
There's also a moment where Matthew is doing RuPaul's hair and RuPaul's like, oh. Careful, don't bump my colostomy bag. Like, so funny.
And she said, I'm going to need some energy on this panel. I need 5 gerbils. It's like, and that's what she probably said to get people up before they rolled it, you know? Like,
yeah.
She was always trying to keep the set light and, like, perky. When it was time to roll, she wanted everybody, like, let's do this, well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Light and perky, one take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's really funny. He loves the dirty joke, too. Like, don't be fooled.
Mm-mm.
Don't be fooled by the gender F word. He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
So to help me rate the Rasha Shah in counting down the top 10 fits
and
fashions.
It's Chanel. I wear costumes.
Pandora Box.
Raspberries.
And Mariah.
I thought the judging was interesting.
This is fun. It's always fun to bring back the divas and the dolls. They get to sit in the chair and be on the other side.
Especially when the divas or the dolls are assigned a look that they're like, oh, yeah, this is gold. This is great. Would you wear it? No.
Yeah.
Which is what Chanel does to Milan's.
So funny.
Outfit, her disco harem chic.
Oh, now, oh, I love it. It catches the wind when she spins. I just love it. Oh, would you wear this look? No.
No. But it's great on her.
Chanel.
Jiggly has her one shoulder metallic look, and Mariah just looks at it unblinkingly, says, gray jello never looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the read. Mariah really shines.
I
want to
see the receipts.
For sure. Major salute on Mariah.
She did. We live. Latisse in the one shoulder sparkly blue gown. This was a very beautiful moment.
Yeah. Fifi is in her post-apocalyptic We Don't Need Another Shiro look.
Uh-huh, right. Mm-hmm,
which I thought was going to win. That was a good look. Dita had her gold bustier when she had to call that locksmith when she lip-synced. Remember?
Every day is leg day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Chad has his like gothic, very Tudors, Florence and the Machine.
Florence Henderson and the Machine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have a... This double used look next, the Nicki Minaj Pretty in Pink classic doll.
Yes. They show Sharon's plastic surgery moment. The girls really like this, that she can take something weird and gross and make it chic and glamorous.
She always did.
Yes.
And then you have me, I guess, oh, it's a fit. Or it's sickening. I was sick. So maybe that's why it's a sickening fits of fashion.
And Mariah says, it's obvious that somebody still has her gag reflex. She is a disgrace to blonde trash everywhere.
She did.
She said that.
She, and you, yeah. I mean, not wrong.
So funny.
Not wrong, gal.
We love Mariah's commentary. I am here for this at all times.
But who could be number one?
I don't know. Who
Rue,
could it be?
If I may.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not just one look. It's 11 timeless looks.
Timeless.
Roll tape.
They are really good.
And then there's this dumb bit where Pandora says, roll tape, which was cute. A cute way to send it off. But mm-hmm. then they show a clip of
the zombies.
Of the zombies eating Shangela again, yelling hallelujah. And then they cut back to Pandora and she says, I'm going to get fired. Roll the other tape. So dumb. I was like, did you really need that extra 5 seconds?
They had to fill in time.
It was a reach. I was offended. Comedy was lacking. It wasn't Pandora's fault, but they all picked their favorite looks. What was your favorite look of the season, do you think?
Oh, my goodness.
Do we count her finale gown? Because her red finale gown that year was sick. They wanted us all, they wanted us all in black because they knew she was in red. It
there
was
were
good.
So many
I love the green
ones.
Emerald, the one she sent me home in. That one, the I never seen a shoulder in that. It was still, it was wide, but it still had that nipped waist. So it was like real. I liked it.
Yeah, that was great. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's so fucking many. I love them all.
I love Mariah. Every girl, Chanel, Pandora, and Mariah were all assigned a girl to say, whose team are you? Are you team? Just for the send off of the show. And Mariah's is so carefully worded.
Mariah says, I want Fifi to win.
She seems to have the hunger. Is that it?
The fire.
The fire. Something. Yeah. Hungry fires.
She does have hungry fires.
Hungry fires. For sure. So the top three are listed. Fifi is a Chicago showgirl and a feisty firecracker with a will to win. Mm-hmm. Hunger and ambitious, she always brings her A game.
Okay. Right, and they show her as, like, being saucy and fighting in the workroom, of course.
They show Regina King, who hated me, saying, if we were to do this right now, you would be the winner. You would be the one.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, she did do really great.
That episode was great. She looked beautiful, that teal dress.
Yeah.
It was the first time, like, she was using, like, I think her legs as her advantage without hose, too.
Yeah.
She was a woman.
Yeah.
Updos, natural side.
Deep woman.
Yeah. Slick back.
Yeah. What's it called? Leave out.
Uh-huh, leave out. She had a leave out for sure. Chad's package is just like the classic, like she should win. It was great. She was everything she needed to be. She was perfect.
It's all Cher references in this roundup.
She does Cher?
She does everybody, but she very much does Cher. And then we have Cher and Needles.
Don't share
the freaky
needles.
Underdog. Who the girls underestimated.
She didn't hit it off with the girls initially, it says. Right. But Sharon soon went over the judges with her edges aesthetic. She had her edges, I guess. The judges were impressed with her edges. Oh, edgy. Sorry. Edgy.
Oh, my God. But she was plagued by her nagging guilt over her boyfriend back home.
Oh, wow. Guilt.
That's me.
That was the only thing that could have kept her from the crown.
It was me. It was mine.
It was mine. It was always me. She showed the judges she could diversify her style of drag. And then they show the one picture of her in that ugly side part wig from the dog park day park realness, the hard front.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't like that look.
Hardest front.
Hardest of fronts. Yeah. At this point, I thought Sharon was going to win for sure. I think her package was the most well-rounded.
Well, to speak to that, though, mm-hmm. we saw the social media numbers. I mean, it was very much like Sharon was like a landslide ahead mm-hmm. of everybody else. But we still kind of were like, well, she's probably not going to. Like, because there was never a figure like her on Drag Race before. Mm-hmm. She was not particularly polished or expensive or anything like that. And so she did not fully believe that she had it in the bag at any point until it was.
Wow. When she walked in that geometric Jeffrey Mack witch outfit for finale crowning too, I was like, that tiara is going to look so great on that hat, Sharon.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was, and then she changed her outfit again. Did she wear that for crowning?
I think so. And I think she put the crown over the hat.
It looks so good.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. But there was no, leading up to this, we did not, we didn't think that she had it in the bag at all.
Okay. Have you ever tried on the crown?
Fuck no. I didn't want it in the fucking house. Because it's like there's that superstition about if you put on the crown of a pageant that you didn't win, like you put on someone else's crown, then you're like cursed to never win. It's not real because Violet Chachki took pictures in Sharon's stolen crown and then won like a couple years later.
She did.
But I was very superstitious. I didn't touch it. I didn't want to be around it. I didn't look at it. It was not prominently displayed. We kept it in a box in a closet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like all those memories.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break and then get back to the most important part of this episode.
The most important. Yeah. It's time for Latitudes with Latrice. Large and in charge, chunky yet funky. The legend and icon herself, Latrice motherfucking Royale! I'm excited to talk about your upcoming project, AJ and the Queen.
Oh, my goodness.
Creative consulting producer.
That's me.
Actress.
That's me.
Future guest Emmy nominee.
I hope so. That's me.
Yeah. How did that opportunity come about?
RuPaul asked me.
How nice.
We were filming the Christmas special, mm-hmm. and I got pulled out of filming, and Theron actually asked me, he was like, Rue wanted to know what you were doing, this, da, 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 dates. And I was like, I'm trying to get married. Because it was during my marriage, like, I was getting married that month.
Yeah.
And they wanted the month of September. I was like, Marianne, look, girl, now I just gave y'all August, June and July and August. Now you want September too, bitch? But it was one of those opportunities where, when Michael Patrick King calls you, you answer.
Yeah.
And so he did, and I did, and we did, and we made it work. So I'm glad I did it because it was amazing.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Definitely did something different and new for me. It was a completely organic experience. Not very orthodox for the way that Hollywood works. They don't usually write that way in the writer's room.
To have your voice in there.
Yeah, and so it was pretty cool. And like, I can't wait to see all my stories come to life, you know what I mean? Because I told a lot of stories.
You're the first person in the trailer that people can hear.
Yes, right? Yeah. And know that it's me.
It's so great. I'm thrilled just by watching the trailer, but just to see it like on TV, anytime drag's on TV, it's so important.
It's so important.
Spit on it first.
Now, you know that the recap episode is really just about stretching time and mm-hmm. selling ad space. So
it's about feeding a family of four with a serving of one.
Exactly.
They're stretching that meal.
So we are following suit. And actually, this happened very organically. And I was texting Jiggly to confirm this thing she said on this episode. And she was like, can I be on the show? Can I call in tomorrow?
She listens.
She's a listener, and now she's going to be our on-the-phone guest in a little segment we call Justifications with Jiggly. What's a J word?
I love it. No, that's it.
Here
Jiggly
we go.
Justified.
Yeah.
In Christina Aguilera stripped art with her hands up.
Good afternoon.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
I texted you last night.
Will you send us roses?
Oh, how many roses?
White roses?
I seem to have misspelled pink. Roses. For some reason, I put a dollar sign instead of an S. So sorry about that typo. No,
you're
I
te- trying to get me locked up, bitch. No, y'all are some assholes. It should be roses or a gift.
No, she likes daddies.
I was texting you last night because I was watching the RuPaul Rewind, and there's this really quick scene where in passing you say something, I couldn't quite catch what it was.
Oh, yes.
But it was really funny, and it was like catchphrases that came out of the season, and I texted you to find out what it was, and it is.
No sill, no surge, no shade.
No sill, no surge, no shade.
Thank you, Miss Caliente, for that contribution. So, I love you.
What is that? Where does that come from?
Okay, truthfully, I got that from Naomi Maldonado.
Oh, word.
So she used to say it in the ballroom scene, and then I heard it in the dressing room at school. And I just kind of like, I was like, well, I don't have any of that, so I could say that too.
Word.
Yeah.
I worked with you at Escuelita. Remember, I had pizza in my bra for Carmen's birthday?
You what?
Never mind.
Escuelita.
Carmen had her birthday there. And we
oh
all.
Oh my God, yeah.
That was fun.
We can't talk about that because of what Sharon did.
What? What happened? Oh, when she was RuPaul.
Yeah.
Oh.
The crazy part is Sharon's fucking impersonations are so spot on sometimes that I'm like, how is this possible?
Jiggly, I have a question. On season 4, why did you think it was a good idea to make your first outfit from the apocalyptic thing basically a kitchen junk drawer with some aluminum foil? I always wondered.
It started off as like I wanted to make it look like Heatherette. I really wanted
okay.
The whole idea.
Very Heatherette, very Saint Tropez.
And then I just kept adding shit, and then nobody stopped me. So I was like, okay, keep going.
I was hand stitching my couture in the corner.
I was like, I had three more hours to go. So I was like, well, I gotta wait for my fucking interview time. So I'm gonna keep adding.
Work.
I think when the severed leg got attached to it, I think that's when it was too far. But I liked it.
Oh my God. I remember exactly what I told Michelle down. But all I know is like when Michelle tried to clock me for the sneakers, I was like, look, I'm going to live through the apocalypse. I'm not going to fucking do it in heels.
Right?
Exactly.
You got to run. They're zombies.
How am I going to run? Nobody can run in heels. I was like, whatever.
Bye.
I defended your flats. I went to the mat for your flats, and I will continue to do
I
so.
Wore brand new, what do you call those shoes? Like those fucking pleasers, or whatever the hell they were.
Oh yeah, they those red entrance ones that you were pumping in.
And they literally left me the only blister on my left foot, and I was like, oh hell no.
So what was your? How did your life change from season 4? Because I think season 4 was really like a turning point in the history of the show and in the history of like RuPaul's Drag Race as a phenomenon.
Thank you.
How did it change your life personally?
It's opened so many doors. That's the main. I can, as much as like I'm always like, oh my God, I look like such a dumbass on the show. It opened so many doors for me. It, like, you know, I'm the one of the very few queens that can honestly say I have been part of 2 Emmy-nominated, Emmy-winning shows that are LGBT.
That's true.
Provocative.
That's
so,
tea.
They're like, I was on Drag Race and now I'm on Pose. Those are the two huge ass, like, that's a huge door that Drag Race opened for me.
Yeah, totally.
I've been able to go international. I was able to pay for my teeth in cash.
Yes, bitch, I love you. Paying for her work with the coin. Give me a gig. I need my uppers done, daddy.
I was like, I didn't need to go back and escort anymore. I was like,
a girl. Yeah. God bless. No, I took the ad down.
I'm not making as much as I used to. I don't need to start sucking dick again, do I?
Oh my God. I have a question. Sure. Did you ever find your tits?
Where are my fucking tits?
Okay, so
you need to tell us the tea about
Phoebe
the tits
didn't
in
remember.
The boat.
She's like, we asked if she hid your tits, and she said, I don't remember. But where were your fucking tits?
So Sharon tells me that Phoebe hid my titties.
Okay, was that ever like proven?
Phoebe says she does not remember. She does not think she did that. I asked Dita. Dita did not remember who hid my titties. Dita said the only part she remembers is when I found them underneath all my shit.
Okay.
You hid your titties, bitch.
That's what I'm low-key thinking that, like, because I remember we did the what do you call this? The fucking...
the wet t-shirt contest, and all of our titties were drying in our pads.
The what?
The wet t-shirt contest. That was wet t-shirt contest episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all of our pads were wet. Latrice was squishing.
squishing
down the runway 400 rounds.
All the girls that were padded were still like, all their pads were still soaking wet.
Yeah, it was like Logan at the Pines every afternoon in July.
Logan at the pool show, basically. As soon as like mid show, it's like squish, squish, squish. Yeah, but everybody. Yeah, but I don't pad, so that wasn't my situation. My
no surge, no still, no shade.
The way they were. Look, I had more problems than the fucking like missing my titties in that episode. Okay, my fucking tuck tape like popping off,
girl.
And I hate that Willem is the one to call me and be like, "Did you see that?" This I was like, "What are you talking about?" And then she was like, "You didn't see it." I was like, "No, I wasn't at my viewing party." And then I saw it.
Wasn't even booked for her own viewing part. No.
Damn. At the later episode, it was already blurred. On the next, when they re-aired it at midnight, it already got blurred.
Because it got clocked by a lot of people, I guess.
Someone went,
I was like, oh,
there was
shit.
A ponytail in the crowd.
There is candy outside of the jar.
There's candy on the floor!
Okay, but we gotta be honest on why that happened.
Welcome to the ball pit.
Okay, so how that happened is, we ended up breaking for lunch right after the critiques.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I decided to eat.
Of course.
And I had to go to the bathroom right before we go to the fucking main stage. Mm-hmm. Did not remember to put my fucking tucking tape in my Ziploc bag.
Oh, and Chanel didn't have your tape.
So you couldn't reapply.
And Chanel couldn't go. Remember, we had that rule that
we weren't allowed
back
in the workroom after we left. So we had to take everything we needed for the whole afternoon.
If it's not in your Ziploc, you're like, your touch-up stuff, I forgot it. So I literally tucked it back and taped it back with a prayer, hoping I wasn't going to be at the bottom because I was like,
fuck.
With a shirt that had a stain and a hole. There's no way I'm going to really be clocked with it.
See, you should have had the cover-up on then or the boat to cover it up.
I was like, oh my God. And then I had to lip sync and I was like, fuck my life. Of course it has to be fucking against Milan, who dances her ass off. So I couldn't just pooch and walk around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good lip sync. That was really good. We had some good ass lip syncs that season.
Yeah.
Latrice and Dita, Jiggly and Milan served it. Milan and Kenya. Were you there for the Milan and Kenya one? That was good.
Yeah. I was literally like on the other side going, oh shit. When Milan started with her head on like on
upside
floor,
down, she, bitch. Girl, she said, hold on. We'll be on the floor.
I was like, oh shit. And she's literally like looking at Ru like, yeah, bitch, I know the words. And I was like, oh bitch.
Wow.
Bitch, you turned
but
it.
Kenya was like, no, I'm going for this. And I was like, yeah, Kenya fought, bitch.
So when can we see you on the next season of Pose? What's your next gig on there?
I'm waiting to hear what happens on the third season because they said that a lot of things are going to change. So
I smell a spinoff, darling. Uh-huh. I smell a spinoff.
I would hope so.
What's your character's name on the show?
Veronica.
Veronica.
Of the House of Ferocity.
Yeah. Well, we love you so much.
You told me that I could finally say that to people. I was like, shut up.
Wait, what'd you say? It sounds like you have five dicks in your mouth. What'd you say?
I said that it's crazy that when I asked you on our show, on our season, you look really familiar, Ma. And you must own a television. When you told me that I could finally say that to people, I was like,
Mm-hmm. It's tea.
Yeah. thank you for coming on Race Chaser Jiggly Caliente. I love you.
I love you guys. One thing I never really got to tell you was when we worked together on episode two and the wrestling challenge, and the way it changed my mind about you because on the first episode, I was like, oh, she's so snobby. I can't feel her. Mm-mm. And then when I got to work with you and realized why you are the way you are, it's not because you're bragging, but it's because you're just really proud of all the work that you've done.
Okay, yeah.
You're right. I mean,
yeah. So I was like, okay. There's a reason to them. There's a method to your madness.
We were good too. That wrestling challenge, we were really good. We were doing perfect.
I was like, yo, what's the name was not so bad. Cause like, if she would have just gotten a little bit more rah-rah, Princess was like, and it's also one thing I will have to say, I am so proud that our season has the most trans women from the show.
That's tea.
We have LaShawn, Kenya, and me.
That's three dings.
We have three trans girls on our show.
That's tea.
Yeah. Work, Jiggles. I love you. Bye, Jiggles.
We love you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, thank you so much again to Jiggly Caliente, our on-the-phone guest today.
What a salute.
Deep salute. She continues to, she is the Emmy touch.
I mean,
she's on the show. They win Emmys.
She's the lowest common denominator for that. You should filter down. It's Jiggly.
It is.
Yeah.
We love you, Jigs.
Yeah. And we love you for listening to Race Chaser Classique this week. I'm Willem.
But wait, we're not done yet. We didn't talk about the most vital, important part of this episode. Now, there are certain things when you think about Drag Race. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. But there are certain things when you think about Drag Race, and you can't exclude them from the overall narrative.
Okay.
Without changing the entire trajectory of the course. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I'm, of course, talking about the crystal ball. The Michelle Visage inside of a crystal ball.
And we're not talking about an after hours party.
No.
An actual crystal ball dressed up as a fortune teller.
Yeah.
Who wrote this? Because the other little quips about the girls are so cute. Now this, it sounds like someone wrote it and then Michelle went, okay, but I'll put my spin on it.
Here are my justifications, okay?
Yeah.
Justifications. These are my justifications. I think with this episode, they were sort of dipping into the pot of like the RuPaul talk show from VH1, like from the 90s, because they used to do skits a lot.
Sure.
And it was her and Michelle. So I think they were like referencing that. Like the whole Michelle dressed up as RuPaul thing was a thing they did on the VH1 show.
Okay.
So I think they probably did this crystal ball thing, maybe. I don't know if you can weigh in on this, listeners.
Anybody watching it in the 90s?
It was just supposed to be lighthearted camp froth.
Mm-hmm.
Not really vital and important. Not really giving us any new information.
Well, you know what? They looked great.
Well, also, Michelle was in drag that day, so they were like, we might as well.
Let's do another look. Yeah. Change your hair. Put a scarf on your head. Then you're going to say some stuff. Just look in camera. No, you don't need to wear your shoes. Your feet won't show. Exactly. We're going to bang this out. Last shot of the day.
Take the corset off. Yep. Like, easy. Mm-hmm. And also, the information isn't even true. Like, if it was an actual reading of their, like, astrological signs, those aren't their astrological signs.
Oh.
Like, she's like, Sharon is a Scorpio rising or something. And,
Wait, Drag Race had something that Sharon's wasn't not. True? Broadcast?
What? It could have been really cool if they actually did, like, an analysis of, like, mm-hmm. oh, Sharon's a Sagittarius, so that means... That could have actually been
yeah,
something.
That would have been cool. Did they not check their birthdays? They're like, no, we don't need their birthdays. Let's disseminate misinformation.
No, before...
Don't you dare.
Dipper just gestured at us wildly, like...
I just saw a messy man.
Now, before we close out this episode, I have to take a moment to talk about RuPaul's look.
Oh, so good.
So gorgeous.
Just a coral lid with a purple smoky eye.
Mm-hmm. And sitting in the chair.
Seated.
The corsetry, the shape is just cartoonish. And the hair is this honey blonde. Mm-hmm. It's more like casual. It's more like, oh, I'm just like... Oh,
I just brushed out this roller set. I haven't even put any spray on it yet.
Right, exactly.
Very Sleeping Beauty brushing her hair.
So soft and bouncy. And I think, now call me crazy, I think they did a little zhuzhing midday of this hair because I think it was flatter at the beginning. And I think they just did a tiny little boost of it.
You know how that is.
Girl, every girl wants a boost.
It's like if you got, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you go back to the beginning, I think the hair is actually flatter.
Maybe they did the Michelle stuff and she got up and moved a little bit.
Right.
My hair's
always... Every girl wants her hair to be bigger at all times. There's no reality where, maybe I'm just on glue. Maybe it's not this scene, but it's when she's first sitting down.
Are you trying to critique RuPaul or something?
No, I'm not critiquing. I think that Matthew got in there a little bit.
She got in there and said, here, hold the front.
No, go forward. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely flatter. It's not as big.
I think Matthew just got in there a little bit, like midday.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they started the day with all these seated talking heads, and then they.
And this is literally the first shot of the day because it's the intro. I feel like too that hair is definitely smaller and not picked out as much. It got looser throughout the day.
Yeah, that's my hand pressing play on that little.
That's my old house.
Tape player.
Oh, they show us lip syncing to RuPaul's song, and I'm doing the wrong song. And I just left it on my tape because I was like, "That's actually a funny intro."
Wow.
Yeah. Willful.
Wow. Flagrant.
Wordy. All things used to describe race chasing.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you very much. And thank you for joining us for mm-hmm. this episode of Race Chaser Classique.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we'd love for you to rate and review our podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to Justifications with Jiggly.
That's right. Our spinoff. Vertical. And on Instagram.
And horizontal.
You can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod.
Do you want more of us? You can watch videos of us doing assorted things at patreon.com/Willem. Mm-hmm. These are fun videos. It's pay to play. So just choose a video you like and leave the coins on the dresser. And there is new stuff up right now. Oh, we're styling RuPaul's Party City wigs.
Yeah. And they turn out really great.
I mean, I could do a number in it.
Yeah.
For sure. So just go to patreon.com and it's like a dollar. Boom, done. Race Chaser content can be found by searching the hashtag Race Chaser.
Yes. Brilliant. And you can slide into our DMs anytime with scalding hot tea and explicit nudity. And email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com/drag. And before we go, we have had a silent guest in our studio this whole episode.
Yeah.
Willem's dad is here.
Yay. Well, this isn't the one, but it's a joke.
Do you want to say anything?
Say hi.
Hi.
Are we allowed to be? I am. Why not? Okay.
And with that, we leave you until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever!
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck, available on iTunes.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.